BlakeRadio.com.
No, we're not from West Newbury. No, we can't hip-hop like you. My client is the conqueror. I'm just Brock's advocating Jew. You gonna beat Brock's ass cause you the doctor of the thugs? I mean, you've beaten all the best, but now Lesnar's on your plate. You say your time is now. Brock says your calendar's out of date.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
I have options on how I handle this. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tweet about it until my fingers bleed. In that tweet, and however many characters I get, I am going to threaten. That's right. If I don't get what I want, I'm going to riot. And if that doesn't work, then by God, me and my friend Mark, we're going to stop watching.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
Let me tell you something, you self-righteous little puke.
I am an A-plus player. I always have been, and I always will be.
And Lindsay Ward.
I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. I have done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
What an interesting night of Monday Night Raw action. Oh my god, this show made me laugh so much tonight. It was kind of awesome. I don't know about you, but it made me laugh. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your wrestling action figure stop motion review needs. As Mr. Goldberg says, did Luke Harper leave the Wyatts? What?
I don't think he left the Wyatts, but I think he's going out into the world. But we'll talk about that when we get there, because it was glorious! I got Wyatts tonight, even if it was only in two promos, but I got Wyatts tonight! He heard me yelling at his Twitter, get your ass on TV. And he did! And it was amazing.
He did talk. It was kind of amazing. And, yeah, that sort of thing happened. Oh, man. So, yeah. We've been talking for a couple days that, you know, he needs to show up and do something. If you hear the beeping in the background, that's Matt Goldberg sending me messages.
Hi, Matt!
I don't think he's listening. He's just I left. I couldn't see the end of the Raw, and he heard these things, and yeah. Anyway, Monday Night Raw opened with the King of Kings and the Queen, Triple H and Stephanie McMahon, coming down to the ring. Stephanie asks, why do these people cheer for quitters? Because they were chanting for you know who. And she says they can relate because they are all quitters. David would rather quit and fail rather than dig in and fight for what you believe in. Things get tough at work. You quit your job. You have a fight with your wife. You quit your family. Or, well, you could just steal like Dean Ambrose did with the Money in the Bank briefcase from Seth Rollins. It doesn't matter because the contract is still Seth's. Stephanie says that Dean's actions will not be tolerated. Hunter says the briefcase is a symbol. It's a symbol that represents this business. He says he will not let anyone disrespect this business.
cue Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman apologizes for coming out and interrupting him, but he points that he is the advocate for the WWE champion, Brock Lesnar. Paul says that it is ironic that Hunter said disrespected because that's how his client feels. He feels disrespected that John Cena was moments away from becoming WWE champion, disrespected by the fact that Hunter's boy, Seth Rollins, not only got in the way of what would have been a successful title defense, he also curb-stomped his client and attempted to cash in his Money in the Bank contract. That is why his client, Brock Lesnar, instructed him to come to Chicago, of all places, and find out firsthand if his client has a problem that he needs dealing with involving Seth Rollins, or if he has a problem to deal with. And then Stephanie interrupts and says, Paul, you're a shrewd businessman, and you better choose your words carefully if you're threatening. Cue Seth Rollins. He wants to get things straight. No one in the authority told him to run down and try to cash in his Money Bank contract. He did it on his own. No one suggested that he curb stomp Brock's face into the mat. He is disappointed in Paul because Paul would have respected that and understood his decision. He's trying to establish his career the same way that, well, Paul did, on opportunity. Seth says he was trying to make the most of his opportunity. He says that he thinks he speaks for everyone, saying that no one wants John Cena to be world champion again. Because of the man he is, he wanted to become champion by beating the best. And the best is his client, Brock Lesnar. And the fans didn't think so. They chanted for somebody else. And Seth Rollins was clearly annoyed by that.
Just a little bit.
Brock should be honored and not insulted by what he did. Night Champion Seth says that from the bottom of his heart, he is truly sorry. He is sorry. He shakes Paul's hands. Paul says that what Seth did took a lot of chutzpah. Hashtag G-word. If he tries it again, Seth won't be dealing with him. He'll be dealing with Brock Lesnar. Paul starts to leave. Hunter gets in his face. And he says, you know, I enjoyed this conversation. Well, you should have a good night. But he told him very aggressively that was just what it was. So, let's stop there for a second. That stuff.
This was a great opening segment. I love how they shot down the Punk chant pretty much from the get-go, like they have been the last couple times they've been in Chicago, because for whatever reason, every time they're in Chicago, there's always the Punk return rumors. Y'all, enough is enough. His contract has expired. He's not coming back. The dude has said that himself several times now in public forums. I'm pretty sure he's not Chris Jericho. He's not going to pull a return.
Steph didn't help these rumors by answering a question today. That's all.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they would love to reconcile with Punk, if nothing else, for the fact that he made them a ton of money. And if they brought him back, they would make a ton again on merchandise sales. But Steph doesn't like him. That was made apparent because she took a shot and other shots were taken at Punk.
Yes, so, yes, they were.
You know, it's clear that they're done being nice. They're done, you know, playing by the rules, and they're going to take their shots if the fans set them up for it. But, you know, and I don't know why they're worried about the CM Punk chant. If some dipstick's going to walk in there and start a CM Punk chant, start it. You know what? Y'all know how to shut them down, so just shut them down.
And that's what they did tonight, which is good for them.
Yeah. I mean, just walk in there with a plan. You know it's going to happen. It's his hometown.
And you just go from there.
But I had to laugh because I actually saw a tweet that's like, Punk spotted in Chicago. .. because he lives there.
I would favor that for Tweet of the Week. Thursday's on the rack.
But in terms of the segment, it was a good segment. It was a good opener.
Well, before we fully go on to that, there's a little bit more. Wanted to stop there with the CM Punk stuff. So we turn our attention to, well, Dean Ambrose. Seth says that Seth says that now that that's out of the way, he appreciates that I'm coming out to chastise Dean Ambrose on his behalf. Dean is the furthest thing from normal. Dean thinks that it's funny, and he's probably laughing. Seth says it isn't funny. It was never funny. He tells Dean he wants his briefcase back because there's personal items in there. if Dean does not come out here right now, what he did with the cinder blocks will be nothing compared to what he will do. And that guess who appeared? Dean Ambrose on the Titantron. He says he wants to sew his eyes shut to having to look at Seth and the Authority. Seth used to be a man, but now he's a corporate mommy. And now that he's corporate, mommy and daddy are fighting for him. If he wants his briefcase back, come and get it. And then Seth and Hunter and Steph, they go up the ramp. John Cena appears and starts to brawl with Seth Rollins. And Rollins escapes through the crowd and back on the stage with the Authority. That's how that segment ended.
Okay. All right. I just want to see Dean versus Seth. I really do. I think everybody, that's the feud they want to see. I don't understand why John Cena is so insistent on being in this feud, other than it's one of the hottest, probably one of the hottest feuds of the fall. If not the hottest feud, right behind Cena and Lesnar. Because it's the match everybody wants. Because it's going to be a good match. We all know what they can do. And together, them fighting, especially if you put them in an environment like a cage or Hell in a Cell, ding, 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 there's that magic word, because, hey, that's the next pay-per-view.
4 weeks on the WWE Network for only $9.99, not in the UK, though.
Ding! It's going to be an awesome match. So it's like, you're inserting Cena into this, and he's like, oh, well, you know, I want to beat Seth Rollins' ass, because he cost me my match with Lesnar at, you know, at whatever the last pay-per-view was.
Night of Champions.
Night of Champions, thank you. Dude, it's not like you're never going to get another title shot. You're John Cena. Okay? You know, every other time somebody cost you a title match, you could give a crap. Because you're John Cena, and they'll just be like, oh, here you go, here's another shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, now you care? Now it matters? Oh, wait, because it's against Brock Lesnar, and that's why you care? I mean, it's just, it's like, can Seth and Dean have their feud, and then Cena comes for Seth later?
That would sort of make sense.
Because here's the thing, we all know what's going to happen if Cena's involved. Cena's going to come out on top. Which means it's going to break Rollins and Ambrose's momentum. Kind of like it did Bray Wyatt's.
Kind of, sort of, yeah. So, we'll get more into that in a little bit. Alright.
But overall, I thought the segment was good. I thought Heyman was good. Dean was hilarious.
Actually, I thought Dean was weak in this segment.
Really?
Well, the weakest part of his night, I should say. Weakest part of his night, because he was funnier later.
Ah!
Right? He's funnier later.
No, there's like a really creepy progressive commercial with like a ventriloquist dummy.
Anyway, we're back from commercial. Stephanie is in, they're in the office. Says that Dean is playing mind games. Hunter tells Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble to get the briefcase back in one piece. The number of pieces of Dean Ambrose doesn't matter. Noble asks for sledgehammers. Well, Hunter says to him, they aren't thinking as a cohesive unit. He doesn't care how it happens. They just want it back. We have the modern day Stooges.
And it's awesome! It's Noble and Mercury! This is so amazing! Because I love how Jamie's like, we could totally take care of this if, you know, you give us some sledgehammers, and Hunter's like...
No.
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 Because, you know, they totally can't hop in the car while, you know, you think you're looking for them and go to, you know, the local Lowe's or Home Depot or your local hardware store and get some. Go grab them off the truck.
That's what I was going to say. They're probably in the truck.
You know, a little logic here, but yeah, we have modern day Stooges aside from Kane and Randy Orton, and it's amazing.
Match number one, though, is for the Intercontinental Championship. Dolph Ziggler defending against Cesaro and The Miz. Enjoyable match.
Except when they use Cesaro's face to crush Miz's balls. I'm pretty sure Maurice won't be happy about that.
Yeah. Cesaro's face did crush Miz's balls. But besides that, solid, really good match to open the show. Ziggler retains the Intercontinental Championship, and Cesaro still hasn't, you know... he still wants to be that one-on-one shot, and, you know, where he actually gets to be involved in the pinfall, where his foot's not, you know, underneath the rope, and the referee misses it, or seeing the Miz take the fall.
Oh, Cesaro, you're going to have to wait for Miz, or for Vince to die for that to happen. I'm sorry, honey. Because they just, they are not, it's like they tease a push with Cesaro, and then they're like, nope, sorry.
He's going to get close, and then back down.
Yep.
So, after the match, Cesaro and Miz are down the floor, both holding their knees, which was great. Selling that figure four, baby. Selling the figure four. We're backstage. Noble Marker asked everyone in the back if they seen Dean Ambrose. And no one sort of saw them. They went through the rosebuds, and then they went up and saw Great Khali. And then Khali said, "I can't hear you." And then Noble yelled louder, and it just, who is it, Dean Ambrose?
I'm pretty sure he triple powerbombed you at one point, dude. Or he at least helped.
Did they?
I think they might have gotten Cully. Maybe. They got pretty much everybody else. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't have Roman, like, triple powerbomb Cully.
So. So, we have a video. Luke Harper and Bray Wyatt. Says they his loss. Everything about him is a mystery. Life is cool. She took everything away with her cold hands. What do you give a man who has nothing? Bray says that you give him a reason to exist. He fixed him. Now, he sent him out to your world as a wolf amongst the sheep. Luke says that he tries to piece himself back together. Bray says that he is set free. Luke says, peekaboo, you're doomed.
Okay, number one, character development!
Right?
Yes! This made me so happy, because we finally got a little bit more in terms of Luke Harper's past, because, you know, they've kind of teased that he was a truck driver, but there was that missing connection of how kind of Luke and Bray came together, and while we didn't get the connection tonight, we at least got a little bit more than what we had. So Bray obviously found Luke somewhere, found him as a broken man, and rebuilt him into what Bray saw him as, which was a monster. Now, what happened to Luke is still a mystery. I'm sure at some point down the line we will find out what actually brought Luke and Bray together. But the point is one, character development. Two, they are pushing Luke Harper. Which I am totally for this.
Three, they sort of have a plan.
But the lingering question, which was what we said at the top of the show, is, and nobody's really sure, is Luke Harper leaving the Wyatt family? Or is Bray going to manage him?
I assume he's just letting his child roam free and, well, he'll make sure he's okay.
Because, you know, they haven't done a lot with the Wyatt family lately in terms of a family unit. And they're tremendously high on Harper. You know, he's got the in-ring skills. He's got the mic skills. He's got the look. Luke is incredibly talented, and he absolutely deserves a singles push. So we may see Bray and Eric step to the background and sort of linger close to Luke, but Luke more does a singles run. Or Bray chooses to concentrate on Eric, because as we know, Eric isn't quite as complete as Luke is. Eric is still kind of a work in progress, you can tell. So, it's going to be interesting how they tell this story and what they do with this. I'm very, very, very intrigued. I think Rock is as well.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But they have a plan for the Wyatts, at least for Luke Harper. He's going to get a push. And I'm okay with this, because I don't mind seeing more of Luke. I'm actually very intrigued by him, just to see what he really can do, especially in terms of cutting promos and just in general speaking. Because whenever Luke speaks, which is not very often, it's very deliberate and intentional.
Yeah.
And he means what he says. So, again, very, very curious as to what's going to happen next. And by the way, the promo was sick.
One, ditto, true. Two, ditto. So there you go. Mercury tells Hunter and Steph they've been looking for Ambrose everywhere. Neville says they've been all over and haven't found him. Stephanie asks if they stopped to get something during their search because he sees mustard and stuff. Stephanie tells them they cannot find him. They will be fired.
Okay, I want to know how you can get all around the arena that quick. Because it was like, what, 10, 15 minutes? It should have taken them at least like an hour to get all over the arena and look for Dean Ambrose.
Especially, anyway, we'll talk about that in a minute.
Especially seeing as what happened shortly after that. But yeah, it's like they come back 10, 15 minutes later. Oh yeah, we looked everywhere. We didn't find him. No, you didn't. There's no way you could look all over that arena in like 15 minutes. No way. Not with it full. And if it's empty, yeah, sure, I can believe that. But, you know, full? No. You check every locker room? Did you check everything?
Yeah. So Miz and Sandow enter. Sandow says that it's travesty that he does not get a rematch, a one-on-one rematch for the Intercontinental title. He is an A-list superstar and should not be in a triple threat match. They demand action. Hunter says he loves this. He says it starts to get stressful, and then they come in here, make him chuckle and laugh. In the meantime, Miz's stunt double can have his match against Sheamus. And, well, if Miz comes in and demands anything from him again, his straight-to-DVD career will go to the unemployment line.
Ouch.
That was a shot, but Miz got one back later.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sandow coming in and just trying to stir him in there like he lost. It was fantastic.
Sandow's gold. What can I say?
Rosa Mendez versus Layla. Tyson Kidd and Natty were in Rosa's corner, and Summer was in Layla's corner. Tyson was busy on his iPhone. Summer and Natty got into it. Natty wasn't happy with Tyson. They argued like an old married couple. Layla won.
This was an extension ripping good time.
Yes, hair extensions flew.
They've been doing that a lot lately. They've been ripping each other's extensions out quite a bit.
They did. Natty took Tyson's phone. She was mad. So the cameraman found Dean Ambrose.
No. We're gonna go back to what that was, because that was
special.
Special's a good word to put that. I mean, they're obviously teasing the marital, in quotations, issues between Tyson and Natty, tying it all into the show, tying it into the fact that Tyson's an asshole and he's a heel. While Natty's kind of being the victim, you again continue the issues between Natty and Summer and Layla and Rosa. Please don't put Rosa in the ring. Just please. I know she said she practiced, but if that's what she practiced, she needs to go back to the drawing board, because that wasn't good, and I know Layla can go.
Check out the Rack Extra Total Divas this weekend, right here on Rock Radio Show and WildTalkRadio.com, episode 4. Go back and listen to episode 3, it was hilarious.
Yeah, it really was.
So the cameraman found the Ambrose, and he's making, you know, he has a bag and a briefcase, and he's coming to the ring.
Yep, Dean showed up with Seth's briefcase.
So Dean comes to the ring. He brings a table from underneath the ring. He sets it up. He says that for those that were looking for him earlier, he was in the concession stand, but they walked past. He kind of waved and looked like they were eating a hot dog. Oops. Dean says that he did not like the way they were running the concession stand, so they are going to have a Dean Ambrose clearance sale. Everything must go. except for the briefcase, because that's not going anywhere. He got real personal, real up close and personal with this briefcase.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, he spent some quality time with this briefcase. He saw some few things inside of this thing, and he understands why Seth wants it back. Dean says that he appreciates the inexpensive stuff in life, and, well, he offers some shirts for $1. Woohoo!
I saw a Wyatt shirt.
Was it a Wyatt shirt, or was it the vaudevillain shirt?
No, it was a Wyatt shirt.
Okay, it was a Wyatt shirt. So Jamie, Noble, and Joey Mercury come to the ring while Dean Ambrose offers Shane his shirt for $0.25. There's a line in there, this promo, that I want to use for an intro. Just going to point that one out.
What, they sent the mid-carders after me?
No, the
cruiserweights.
No, the cheap line.
Oh. Yeah. Gee, I wonder for who.
I don't know, but I know a good deal when I see one. Anyway, so Dean says that they sent the cruiserweight division after him. Dean says he will not throw them the briefcase. It's very valuable. He tells them to stop being so intimidating to him. He tells them to come rush in the ring. They back down and go up the ramp. So Dean says, since he stole the shirts, well, everyone gets a shirt for free.
So suddenly he's Oprah Winfrey. You get a shirt, and you get a shirt, and you get a shirt, and everybody gets a shirt.
Well, as many shirts as he had, he threw them all into the crowd. So people got some free merch from WWEshop.com.
And wouldn't you know it, they stopped chanting for Punk and started chanting for Ambrose.
Amazing how that is. So Seth Rollins and, you know, the Stooges, or the Cruiserweights, come to the ring with real security. But Dean asks, are they real security? Because he thought they were rosebuds last week. Ouch. Dean tells Seth he can have his briefcase back. He doesn't want any more problems. Dean leaves the ring. I don't want any more problems. It's going to go. Seth gets in the ring. Dean goes through the crowd. Seth opens the case, and, well, he got slimed. Ambrose had a shocked look on his face and then started to laugh. And he tells Seth he had nothing to do with that. Rollins yells over, that wasn't funny. That wasn't funny. He looks like a jerk. And he says it's Noble Mercury's fault. Hilarious segment. Hilarious. Like, Dean was awesome in this.
Dean just... You got to the part where he's opened the briefcase, right?
Yeah.
Dean's face. Because you can tell he's standing there and he's trying not to laugh, and then he just loses it. Like, Noble and Mercury are standing there trying, like, Noble is burying his face in his arm because he's laughing so hard. And Dean's smile when he sees Seth covered in the green stuff, he's just like, yes, it worked. You know, it's just like he's a 5-year-old boy that just, you know, pulled off the greatest thing ever. It was amazing because it's like, he's like, oh yeah, you can have the briefcase. You can totally have it. I don't want it. I haven't done anything to it. I swear, guys. You know, it's like he's leaving it there, Seth. That should be like red flag number 50. That, you know, he's screwed with this thing in some capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, when you know it, Seth gets covered in green shit.
He got slimed. Which was tremendous.
Awesome.
It was awesome. It's like, oh, alright, that's kind of awesome. So, we come back from break. And, well, you know, Seth is not happy. He says he could have been permanently blinded. And Hunter tells him, go. Hunter is sort of laughing. He tells him to go to the trainer, get him washed out and stuff. Kane and Orton are there laughing. And Hunter asks Kane where Ambrose is, and he tells Hunter that Ambrose is on his way. By last report, he's on his way to Cena's locker room. See, they found him, but the Stooges really couldn't. Hunter tells him that tells him to tell someone that they will be facing Cena and Ambrose in a tag match, which would be Kane and Orton. Hunter tells them they should be chomping at the bit, but they have a sort of a problem with it. And, you know, they're tired of, you know, cleaning up after Seth Rollins. And then, well, everyone hears something vibrating.
Their faces were hilarious.
Everyone's checking their phones. It's not mine. Seth Rollins returns, grabs the briefcase. It's an electric razor.
Sure, it's an electric razor. Sure. You know, if this was not the PG era, it would have been something else. Just, you know, pointing that out.
Still funny. Made me laugh.
Oh, Stephen Hunter's face is when he picks up the briefcase. He's like, it's a damn electric razor. We're priceless.
Uh-huh.
Because they're like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. Sure it is.
Yeah. So, Mark Henry comes to the ring and says that this past week has been very emotional for him. He wants to apologize to everyone because he gets interrupted by Bo Dallas.
Bo, honey, no. He will eat you.
Bo tells Mark not to apologize to the WWE Universe, but apologize to yourself. You lost to Rusev twice. You've been knocked out. You've passed out. And you even cried your eyes out. You're not living up to your potential. It's time for you to close the Hall of Pain and join the Hall of the Believers. After all, being a believer means never having to say you're sorry.
Don't listen to him, y'all. He lies.
So we have Mark Henry versus Bo Dallas, and Mark Henry just dominates Bo Dallas. However, Henry goes up to the Vader bomb. Bo Dallas moves all the way. Bo's like, oh my god, this is my chance. He grabs him by the head. I thought, oh my god, he's not going to be able to move him. Running Bo Dog! 1, 2, 3.
And in your surprise upset of the evening, Bo Dallas defeats Mark Henry. And then, he doesn't run.
No. But Bo Dallas won. Oh yeah, believe everybody, Bo Dallas won.
And he looked just as surprised as everybody else did.
Yeah. So, we come back from break. We look back at the victory by Bo Dallas. Renee Young stops him in the back and asks him how he won. He's been telling everybody for months, all you have to do is believe. Bo.
Smack.
Run. Mark Henry attacks. Sends him in the wall. In the cases. Shoves the case into him. And Mark Henry says, that's what he do.
Yeah. See, honey, we told you. Run.
We told you to run, Bo.
Like, you get in your car and you leave the building because there's going to be a point where he gets up.
You had to jiggle, jiggle, jiggle your ass on out of the building. But you
yep.
do. You stayed, Bo. You got killed, Bo. Sorry,
Poor
Bo.
He needs ice and a hug and a cookie stat.
Someone go find Bailey.
Somebody go find Bailey. Bo Dallas needs a hug.
Stardust and Goldust do something weird. They saying some of the stuff is fiction, but, you know, at the end, all this destruction is, well, science, fact. I don't know.
They've kind of lost their appeal for me at this point. I was never overly enthralled with them to begin with. Cody has the ability to take any gimmick they give him and make it work to the best that he can. But, excuse me, Stardust and Goldust don't do anything for me.
At least they're being aggressive when they wrestle. That's all that counts. So,
true.
Brie Bella is up next for a match. Nikki comes out and talks about how the quitter's ready for her match in the same place she quit. For what, Brie? What you do is all for Brie. For your little precious Daniel Bryan, that one really worked out for you. Speaking of Daniel, it worked so well, he's sitting at home on the couch recovering. Brie didn't quit for Daniel. She did it for all the people who are uglier trolls than her husband. When you quit, she was put in handicap matches every week as punishment. But where were you? You were nowhere to be found, Brie. So, well, Nikki says, hey, she's feeling like some payback. And per the authority, they've given her the power to make this announcement. A handicap match. Brie Bella versus Cameron and Eva Marie.
Why?
A.K.A. Brie Bella versus The Rack.
Pretty much, yeah, because Brie and Nikki are the only two in this segment that we haven't interviewed, but this was
alright.
It wasn't good. It wasn't bad. Cameron has improved. Eva has improved. But Brie cannot carry a match.
Brie cannot carry a match, but I thought Eva did work very well. I actually was impressed by Eva tonight. Yes, I
said Eva did her best.
I was actually impressed.
She's got a long way to go, though.
She did a lot better than Cameron. That's... yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They both have a long way to go, but they're both improved, and you have to applaud that. It's just you kind of got to look at it because it's like Brie cannot carry a match. Brie cannot lead a match. Brie is also someone who's improved a lot thanks to her husband, but at the same time, she doesn't have the skills to be able to carry somebody, carry a novice, let alone two, like Daniel Bryan can.
Right. So the match was what it was. And I'm not saying Eva was great, but I've seen improvement. Because 6 months ago, she was selling with no emotion. She's actually selling some emotion now. She's actually getting into it. And I'm liking the progress. She's a long way away from being a competent wrestler, but she was better on this night.
Right.
Brie Bella won with a roll-up on Cameron after Cameron and Eva caught it. Then this next segment. So we have Adam Rose and the Bunny, who has the Superstar page on WWE.com and Twitter at Ringside doing commentary. As the Matadors are in the ring, Fernando and Diego, with El Torito the Bull. Their opponents, Heath Slater and Tedos O'Neil. Slater Gator, with Hornswoggle in their corner as a gator.
So,
Titus O'Neil and Heath Slater won. Yeah, go.
So you have a Hispanic dude dressed up as a bull.
Check.
You have a white dude dressed up as a gator.
Well, wait, before you go on. Before you go on, gotta make this official.
Thank you. And we have a Canadian of Arab descent dressed up as a bunny. And as if this can't get any weirder or any sillier, no offense to him, you add the Reverend Jesse Jackson making a cameo appearance in this. As everybody's being introduced. And oh yeah, by the way, there's a South African in a furry green coat. Did I get everybody?
Heath Slater was the normal one?
I just, it's like you've got three guys in costumes. Actually, more than that, counting the full Matador team. But three guys in animal costumes. The Reverend Jesse Jackson, two Matadors, a party dude and all his partiers, a cowboy, a king. And then there's Heath Slater and Titus O'Neil.
So for all that, it's... and so on and so on and so on.
This was just borderline ridiculous. It really, really was. Like, you could tell Jesse Jackson was kind of humiliated to be a part of this. Because it was just really, really, really ridiculous. Like, seriously, you cannot find anybody else for Heath Slater to feud with than the Matadors and the Bull. Like, seriously, they just replaced Drew and Jinder with Titus, and continued Heath's feud with the Matadors. This has been going on since before Mania. Come on, y'all. You need to move this on. You need to, you know, you've got a very, very shallow tag division right now. Maybe you should, I don't know, break this stuff up and move these guys back into the tag division where they belong and have them, I don't know, go for the titles.
Lindsay?
What?
I'm afraid I've got some bad news!
Yeah, I know, I'm using logic. That logic and wrestling don't go together. I know, but it's just, this was so ridiculous. It's like, where the hell is the Wyatt promo again? I was literally asking Rock that through the entire match. It's like, where the hell is the Wyatt promo? Somebody send it to me, please, because I need to watch it again, because this is stupid on a stick.
No, sorry, no. Technically, we got a little bit of a Wyatt in there with the mini gator roll.
Somewhere Luke Harper facepalmed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we move on from that. Slater Gator 1, if anyone cared. So, Lana and the Rusev dude came to the ring. Lana tells everyone to shut up. She tells everyone and talks to people in Russian and tells us exactly what she said. What we are about to show you speaks for the rapid decline of pathetic American society. As you can see, Rusev proved his superiority over the Big Show, and the Big Show, such a sore loser, showed his true colors when he attacked Rusev in the most cowardly way. Then, your Big Show, the decorated champion, tries to intimidate an innocent cute Big Show. So said, that was really good to put a twist around your facts. Your propaganda machine was working well. You talk about how great Rusev, or great Russia and Vladimir Putin are, but we know they are a bunch of crap. Show tells Lana that she can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. Show says that he has always wanted to say that. We then see what really happened. Show says that is the truth. Rusev interrupts Show and says that he wants to shove his fist down Show's throat and rip out his guts. He says he will break every bone in Show's body and then punch him in the groin. Okay, before this, I continue. This is why you have a Lana. Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. It's like, this is why Rusev should never be allowed to speak English ever again. It's like, just let him say intimidating things in Russian, which is what he switched over to, or Bulgarian, whichever he's speaking, because unfortunately I do not know the difference, so no offense to anybody out there, but don't know whether he is speaking Bulgarian or Russian. But, yeah, this is why you don't have Rusev try to cut a promo in English, because it's like, I'm going to stick my hand down your throat and rip out your guts. Okay, that's a pretty good threat. I'm going to knee you in your groin. What?
This is why you have a Lana, a very attractive Lana.
This is why you have Lana, because she, you know, you don't make that woman mad. She will take your face off.
Exactly. Show tells Rusev that's enough. He says he doesn't speak Russian, neither do we. Show says that maybe he'll knock down a white Russian. See what he did there? Show comes to the ring, Rusev leaves. Show then teases pulling down a big Russian flag. He teases, then he grabs it. He pulls it down, by God! And that was the segment.
Yay, USA?
Again, Rusev, you have a Lana. Let Lana speak.
You know, honestly, it's something of, again, Lana's... Why does Lana need to continue to prove anything to anybody? It's like, if I was Lana and you want people to stand up to Rusev, if I was her, I'd be like, no, I don't need to prove anything, because he beat the first dude right out of the gate. And everyone that steps up, he destroys. So why should we step up against you? Why should we have to do anything or prove anything to you? Her point has already been proven several times over now. And every time, and I understand this is the point, is every time, you know, somebody steps up to Rusev and fails, Lana's cause is furthered.
Right.
But at some point, Lana's gonna be like, why? Why do I even need to fight you? He's just gonna beat you like he did all the rest, so what's the point?
That's a good point. So this is, seeing this as this is a wrestling show, this is the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because there's breaking news, we should use this theme. You know, the theme that Randy Orton used when he had the Randy Orton news way back in like 2002 when he was injured?
Mm-hmm.
The Oakland Raiders have fired their head coach. Four games into the season.
Wow, that's impressive.
That is quite impressive.
Who was their head coach?
Dennis Allen. They were 8-28 in 3 seasons under him.
Oh yeah, he needed to be fired. I'm surprised he didn't get axed last season.
Yeah. So, Renee Young is interviewing John Cena. John has asked about his tag match. He says after listening to the WWE Universe, he knows this place loves. He loves this place because they are loud. He says that this is his kind of town. The Windy City seems unstable because we've heard the chant for Ambrose, Ambrose, Ambrose. As far as he's concerned, he's glad that he's fighting with him and not against him. They have the same target, and it's Seth Rollins. Dean appears, and John asks what he wants, and if they add anything, Mr. Ambrose. And he basically, not really, oh, but yeah, Dean says that after they are done with Kane Orton, Rollins is his. Cena says if Seth dares to show his face before, during, or after the match, he is taking a beating, he has a beating coming to him, and he is cashing in. Dean says that nobody takes food off his plate. Not even John Cena. Okay. Dean Ambrose looked like a star in this segment. No one cares about you, John Cena.
Nobody wants you in this feud, John Cena. Seriously. Nobody wants you in this. It's like they literally find the hottest feud and they stick John Cena in it, even though John Cena has no business being in it. That's the thing. You know what? You got your hits in on Seth Rollins several times over now. Dean Ambrose got betrayed, then got put through cinder blocks.
You do, but John Cena lost his title match.
And you know what? Again, as I said at the beginning of the show, he's John Cena. It's not like he's never going to get another title shot ever. They give them to him on a regular basis. Without him really doing anything, he's on that level where he gets the automatic title shot without ever having to prove himself that he's worthy of that title shot. So it's something of, it's like, you know, so what happens if John Cena, again, is gone for a couple weeks while Brock Lesnar's gone? Or you have John Cena, you know, going after the authorities saying, well, you know, Rollins screwed me. Your boy screwed me out of my title shot. I deserve another shot because I didn't get to prove my point against Brock Lesnar. And you have Cena goading the authority and goading Paul Heyman. And yeah, he can get his licks in on Seth Ambrose once. That's fine. Or Seth Rollins.
Seth Ambrose? Really?
They're just one person now, you know? They bicker like an old married couple, so it's just like, you know... They're one person. They're married. Didn't you know this?
Dean Rollins, Seth Ambrose. Okay, I got it.
Yeah, you got it. So, you know, it's like you have Cena get his licks in, but for the most part, you have Cena continue to stay focused on Brock, especially if he's going to get Brock again. You don't need to have Cena involved in this feud. He has no purpose in it. He has no place in it other than to be another obstacle that Dean Ambrose has to go over to finally get his hands on Seth once and for all.
So we come back from the break and AJ's coming to the ring. Paige comes out, says that when she first started, she couldn't see that certain individuals preyed on her kindness and thought of it as a weakness. After careful consideration, she wants, well, to introduce to AJ to her opponent and her new best friend, Alicia Fox. Okay. AJ and Alicia had a match. Paige interfered and Alicia won. And then they beat down Paige afterwards. She got the drink thing, tried to spray her, it didn't work, but they laid her out anyhow with Rampage. Alicia Fox, I know it's her finish, but she can never hit it right. It looks awkward every time. She hit her in the back. Like, the scissor kick. Alicia, stop. You can't do a scissor kick. I don't know how many times you're going to try one and sort of, like, screw it up, but every time you do it on Raw, you fail. You hit them in the back. It's terrible. Looks awkward. And the person has to sell like you did the devastating move. Stop. I'm done.
I would agree with that 10 times over. It was a match. It was a segment. They chanted at AJ. Not surprised. You know, it is her hometown.
It is her hometown. Yes, it is. Sheamus versus Damian Mizdow, non-title match. They had a good match. Miz was on commentary. They brought up the line that Hunter threw out there about straight to DVD, and that's, he said, that's a lot coming from the chaperone. Ouch. Sheamus won with the bro kick. Not surprised.
It was an okay match. I mean, nothing. I mean, this whole portion of the show was really nothing to write home about.
So, Hulk Hogan came to the ring. And let me tell you something, brother. Well, basically, he was out for to promote the Susan G. Komen Foundation. Basically, go to WWEshop.com, buy all the pink and black merch, and proceeds will go to the Susan G. Komen Foundation.
Because we want to save the Tatas.
Well, no, it's Save the Twins.
Whatever.
They have shirts that say Save the Twins.
Save the heavy ass things that are on my chest right now.
Save the Twins. That one made me laugh, and Steph kind of laughed when she brought it up to the person on TV. It's like, it's a double entendre. Like that? Yeah. Anyway. So Hogan was fine. They flew him in to promote it. Oh, awesome. He went pink and black. Brother. Good segment. They supported the people who survived breast cancer. That was kind of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So we're backstage. Orton and Kane are getting ready. They don't care about the briefcase or any of this. Kane says his only operation is that he's directing is putting out Seth's fires. Stephanie interrupts and tells them they're going to do their jobs. Where Dean and Cena attack Seth. They attack the Authority and the Authority's family. Seth was embarrassed by the lunatic Dean Ambrose. Seth would be by your sides if he could. She reminds them that they lost weight last week, so they should enjoy this opportunity. Orton wants to know what people are saying about them. And Stephanie says, well, you've gone soft. She says that their killer instinct is gone. Kane wants to know if the people are saying it or if it's Steph saying it. Steph was like, does it matter?
She has a point.
She did have a point. Then we had our main event, Dean Ambrose, Seth, Dean Ambrose and John Cena versus Randy Orton and Kane. Fine match. The crowd wanted Dean. Crowd eventually got Dean. He went wild. Then Seth Rollins showed up, amazingly. Caused a disqualification. Ambrose gets a little revenge on Seth Rollins. Rollins is caught between the rock and the hard place, aka between him and Ambrose and John Cena. They beat him up for a while. Ambrose did a suicide dive on Kane at one point. But then the Authority took control. John Cena was taken out. Ambrose was taken out. RKO, chokeslam, curb stomp on the briefcase. Cena got RKO, chokeslam, and yes, a curb stomp on the briefcase. So the Authority stood tall at the end of the night.
Which is what you want.
Yep, putting heat on what's going to happen probably at Hell in a Cell in some fashion.
Dean and Seth in the cell, do it, somebody do it, somebody book it, and book John Cena on the outside.
Alright, so that's Monday Night Raw in a nutshell. I laughed a lot. I was entertained a lot. There were certain segments on any other night I would have complained about more than I did. Overall, this was a positive show.
This show was much better than last week. It was much more entertaining than last week. Didn't drag as much, which is what you want. Ambrose looked like a star, which is, again, what you want. And I love just his I don't give a shit attitude. It's a lot of people can relate to it. And they have a star on their hands with him.
Yes, they do.
They really, really have something special in him. And nobody was kidding when they said that you need to watch out for Dean Ambrose because he is phenomenal. I like the Wyatt stuff. I thought the Wyatt stuff was very well done. They replayed the promo again later in the night. So I got to see it a second time and kind of analyze it further in terms of what Bray was saying. But we'll get into that on Thursday on the rack. But yeah, overall, much better than last week. Much better pace than last week. Had a good flow. So yeah, I enjoyed it a lot more than I did last week's show, that's for sure.
Speaking of said rack,
well, you can tune in Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern for the rack, Sadly, we don't have an interview for you this week, but if you want to go back and listen to our interviews with either Eva Marie, Brian Shields, or Edge, they are available for your listening pleasure at wildtalkradio.com in the archives, and also rackradioshow.com in the archives. Go check them out. They were fabulous interviews. Awesome to talk to all three of them. And, yeah, we'll be sending you a book shortly once it arrives here in Georgia. And I don't know what we're talking about yet, but there's news, there's notes. We'll figure it out.
NXT,
so The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Follow us on Twitter at WTRTheRack and Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. But before that is The Rack Extra on the weekend. Total Divas Season 3, Episode 4 review. Go back and listen to Episode 3 review right now. CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual, NFL picks. See how the experts did this week. And so much more. It's always a fun show at CB Radio. On Saturday, we talked about this Japanese thing where they put your food in a condom. So.
Okay.
It's CB Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, hashtag Black Rob, and Cigarette Butts and Bananas on the Facebook. Sunday night, WTR Sunday night. Should return live at 10 p.m. Eastern with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, covering the week in pro wrestling. Follow us on Twitter at WTRSunday and Facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork as we will be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show live at 11, 10 p.m. Eastern.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitter. And pretty much all the pieces are there. Still working out the details for the Redbubble store. There are some pieces available. They're linked on the website if they're still there. Because, yeah, people like to take down my stuff. So, but listen to The Rack Thursday nights and go to rackradioshow.com.
Thanks to PW Mania and Wrestling Figure Wednesday. Go to youtube.com/MVG1211 for all your wrestling figure action figure needs, and stop motion and reviews and all that fun stuff. And see a commercial for, The Rack Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For Lindsay, I'm Rock. We'll see you next Monday night for the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, and all week long, along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network, only on wildtalkradio.com.